been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, May the 20th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. Well, I'm not really detecting any real discernible trends here this morning, but we are up. I am seeing some action buying in the semiconductor sector, the cloud sector, and maybe the solar sector. The Dow right now is up 82 points, which puts it at 33,976 after a wild ride yesterday, which we'll talk about at length here today. The Nasdaq's having a good day. I'm seeing a lot of firming up in the really expensive high-growth stocks today. Mostly the chips and the clouds. The NASDAQ is up 164 to 13,462 after a wild ride yesterday. In fact, you know, by the end of the day yesterday, the NASDAQ was only down 3 points after going to hell in a bucket and back, right? Russell 2000 down 5 right now. Small caps under pressure again, 2,188. S&P is up 26 to 41.42. All the important support levels on all the indexes were held yesterday. Crude oil is down 59 cents to 62.77. Gold, which has had a little rally here recently, is down $3 today to 18.78. Silver's down 3 cents to $28. The 10-year pretty much didn't move throughout yesterday's turmoil. It has settled in at 1.65%, and you got a big rally. You got a big bounce in Bitcoin today. Get this. It's up $7,149 per coin to $42,153 after hitting $35,000 yesterday. Now, there's the wild ride. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show, this Thursday, May 20th edition of the show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we had a wild ride in the market yesterday. I hope you had your seatbelt on. Those thrill rides at the fair or the carnival or the theme parks. Think of the wildest thrill ride you can think of, the one that makes you go upside down and question whether or not you're going to hold on to your lunch or not. And, you know, I lost my cell phone one time on a little roller coaster, and that thing went, dropped from 100 feet down to the ground. Not good, you know, that. And I'll never forget one time I was fishing off of Oceanside in California, and I leaned over to pull anchor, and the cell phone fell out of my pocket down to the bottom of Davy Jones' locker. And, you know, when I called it for the next couple of weeks, a halibut would answer the phone and say, you know, Bill's not here. Dow ends wild session yesterday off of its lows as Bitcoin tech commodity stocks slide, okay? The NASDAQ, though, by the end of the day was only down a few points. The Dow, however, was down a half a point. You know, some of the stalwarts that have been holding this Dow and this market up, like the commodity stocks and the industrials, they came under pressure yesterday. I don't think they're done yet, though. I just think that you had a big jump in the U.S. dollar yesterday. I monitor that by looking at UUP. That was a flight to safety from the Bitcoin thrashing. And I think that had an impact on the commodity stocks. And, of course, the sell-off in the high-flying assets, the growth in crypto, it really got bloody at one point yesterday. I guess the good news is, as I saw the buying coming in, about 1 o'clock my time, 2 o'clock my time, steadying the cryptos and steadying the high flyers. I think that's a good sign, and we're seeing more stabilization today. I'm not seeing any real big moves one way or another. I haven't looked at a lot of charts yet, but I've probably looked at 100 representative charts from different walks of life. And the only real trend I'm seeing so far today is some buying in the cloud stocks like Twilio, ServiceNow, Workday, etc. A little buying in the semiconductor patch. AMD and AMAT had a pretty good day yesterday on Lam Research. And some buying in these solar stocks. Yesterday, they had a pretty decent day. Today I'm seeing some good action in Sunrun and a few others. And then some of the high flyers like Roku and Shopify are seeing a little buying here today in the early going. SPY, that's the S&P 500. Right now it's having its worst monthly performance in 8 months. Go away in May? Well, we'll find out. Early in the trading day, that was yesterday, the financial community is witnessing a market sell-off. That was yesterday. The S&P was down 1.1% at that point in time. So far in the month of May, investors have been net redeemers of the ETF SPY, which is the S&P 500, as it has seen outflows of $3 billion. And those fund flows are representative up to May 17th, 3 days ago. The S&P broke above 4,000 on April 1st. With the recent sell-off taking place, the S&P 500 is 86 points away from breaking back below that mark. Of all the sectors for the month of May, here's the three sectors that have suffered the most. Consumer discretionary. Well, that comes as a surprise. I've seen a lot of little consumer stocks doing pretty well. Information technology. Well, that doesn't surprise me. That's the cloud and software and things like that, very expensive stocks. And communication services. The three accompanying spiders, well, here's what have done the best. It's mostly been the financials and the commodity stocks that have held up well during this sell-off. NASDAQ is on pace for its worst monthly performance since September 2020. The NASDAQ was basically flat yesterday, which was a miracle in and of itself. And for the month of May, the NASDAQ is now down 5.22%. Over the last 13 trading days this month, the NASDAQ is down 8 of them. And, of course, right now we've got the NASDAQ up 189, is that where it is? Last time I looked, come on. The S&P's up 23 right now. That's 0.6%. And the NASDAQ's up 150 right now. 1.1%. Investors have seen a sell-off in technology space this month with growing concerns of rising inflation. That's absolutely true. And rising interest rates. High valuation stocks continue to be at the forefront of market participants' minds when looking at where to allocate capital. Well, that's, I look to these high-flying ETF as a proxy. So let's just take a look here at a few of those for the month of May so far. QQQ is down 4.9% for the month of May. Cathie Wood's ARK is down 15.1% for the month of May. And, of course, it is the best proxy for that really, really high-growth area of the market. And let's see, FBK, I think that's Vanguard's technology fund, down 7.4% for the month of May. Now, here's something encouraging. We have not seen a jobless claims report lower than 500,000 in quite some time. Today's jobless claims report, which comes out every Thursday, jobless claims come in at 444,000. That's the best print, I think, since COVID started. The estimate was 460,000, and I did see the market improve a little bit when those jobless claim numbers came out. Well, I think the big question is, what did the big bludgeoning of the cryptocurrencies, what does that mean for the future of the cryptos, okay? You know what I see in my head, all right? Looking out, I close my eyes, and as the Swami, I see a big, big congressional investigation into what took place yesterday. And I think the biggest catalyst for that is those being overwhelmed. Those trading platforms were overwhelmed and people could not trade. Well, if you remember, that's what happened with Robinhood on just one little stock, you know, GameStop. This happened on an entire asset class. I think you can get ready for much, 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 much tighter regulations on this wild, wild west of cryptocurrencies. That's what Gunderson says, and I got a whole lot more to say when I come back. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 22 years behind the mic, 22 years of managing portfolios, looking at stock charts, writing the newsletter, keeping the app current and constant, trying to be an aid to all of you do-it-yourselfers, and taking care of you if you don't have the time to be a do-it-yourself and want to turn it over to somebody else. An update on Sarasota. We've got the dates, June 22nd, 23rd, 24th. 3 days right in the middle of the week in Sarasota. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have 3 days lined up of appointments that are available. I know Edie, she always reminds me they're filling up fast, Bill. Now, of course, I can't meet with people before the show. I spend 4 hours of preparation on this show. I think a lot of people think, he just sits down and rattles things off. I remember, I've heard many radio show hosts say, you know, before you do a show, you want 9 hours of material for a 3-hour show. Well, I have a 1-hour show, so I have about 3 hours of material. But for the most part, I mean, this material helps me out more than anything else. It keeps me on top of the market. But when the show ends at 11 in the afternoon, in the morning, then I'm going to be meeting with that team down there in Sarasota. We're going to have two teams. One team will be meeting with people that are interested in our services. That's the team I'll be with there at our Lakewood Ranch office. And my team, Paul and Barry, will be meeting with existing clients. And then, of course, Wednesday night is the workshop, where everybody's invited. And, we've got a big hall at the Grove. And if it continues to fill up like it has been filling up, we have an option to expand it to even bigger capacity. So we'll see. But this is now definite. And I want to tell you, I'm very impressed. I've had many calls now with the team down there in Sarasota that mans that Lakewood Ranch office. And, of course, my team is willing to go down there anytime. We've done that over the years. We had to stop because of COVID, but we're headed your way, Sarasota. In Tuesday, June 22nd, Wednesday, June 23rd, and Thursday, June 24th. The workshop will be the 23rd at the Grove. There's no cost. We're looking at either 6:30 or 7:00. I'm not quite sure because I know bedtimes are important in Sarasota, just like they are to me. All right. So I got to watch over my sleep also. So I'm fresh for the show every day. So if you'd like to reserve a spot for the workshop or a meeting with either one of the two teams that will be there for 3 straight days, you can reach Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Say hi to Edie. Edie, in my 22 years in the business, I have never had a better person that interfaces with the people calling in, that initial contact. Because I used to do it, and the way I answered was, yeah, what do you want? Now, that didn't go over too big. Edie's a lot better at it than me. So give Edie a call and say, hey, Edie, I want to set up an appointment with the guys, or I just want to come to the workshop, or I want to do both. And she'll accommodate you in the kindest way possible. All right. You can also, we don't have our website updated yet, so right now, phone call. But you could go through the website and send me a message. Just send us a message. There's a little place that says contact us at GundersonCapital.com. Contact us, and contact us, and we'll get back to you. I'll write back, yeah, what do you want? And then, you know what? We're headed to Minnesota. We're headed to Atlanta. We're headed to Dallas. Finally, the Grateful Dead is back on tour with the Sugar Magnolia bus and Gunderson driving, right? I can't wait. All right, let's see. I'm not seeing any real trends yet here in the market, but I'll be updating people all throughout the day on anything that I see working. I did not do any buys. I did not do any sells yesterday. I just looked. There just wasn't much to report back, but I did see buying yesterday in the semiconductor stocks like Applied Materials, AMD, KLA Tencor, NXPI, Lam Research. And I saw some buying in the Chinese stocks, NetEase, Pinduoduo, JD.com, and also Taiwan Semiconductor, and the cloud stocks to some extent with Salesforce, CrowdStrike, Shopify, having actually decent days yesterday. Okay, let's see, the NASDAQ, we talked about that, having not a good month here so far. Jobless claims coming in, carnage in the cryptocurrencies, but just a huge bounce here today. And let's not forget there's a lot of companies out there now. It bothers me that they're using cryptocurrency on their balance sheets, okay? Your balance sheet lists what you own and what you owe. Your equity versus or your assets versus liabilities, and then at the bottom line is your equity. I have a hard time with that. You know, they're almost treating cryptos like cash. They're putting their cash like, you know, companies like PayPal and Square. You know, they have big positions. MicroStrategy, Tesla. And there again, I think you're going to see some regulations coming about as far as this goes. Elon Musk says Tesla has diamond hands. Kathy Wood still sees Bitcoin to 500,000. You know, she's never at a loss for hyperbole or superlatives. Bitcoin was 55,000. A week ago yesterday. Yesterday it got down to 35,000. That's a 40% drop. I wouldn't call Bitcoin a substitute for cash on the balance sheet. No, I don't think so. And Kathy Wood sees Bitcoin going to 500,000. She's sticking to her bullish Bitcoin thesis. Musk tweets that Tesla has diamond hands. Okay, I'm not familiar with that, but this is a term very popular among Reddit, Wall Street Bets community, to refer to someone adamant in holding a position. Well, you know, I mean, this move that we've seen in Tesla, or not Tesla, in Bitcoin the last several days has pretty much been fueled by Elon Musk and his tweets. You know, he confused everybody on Monday saying, hey, we're not going to take Bitcoin anymore for cars, which led to speculation that he had sold his Bitcoin. He's kind of played games with people, in my opinion. But, you know, be it as it may, Musk says he has diamond hands, meaning we're not selling our Bitcoin. And now you got Bitcoin back up $7,000 per coin today. You're trying to tell me Musk is not heavily influencing this cryptocurrency market? Well, a little bit more on Bitcoin when we come back, and then we'll move on. This is Bill Gunderson. It is the best cryptocurrencies now hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. I'm not seeing any movement here in the market whatsoever. The transportations are down, actually, 86 points. The Russell 2000 is just barely up. The NASDAQ has improved. It's up 180, and now the Dow's up 106. So maybe we're starting to see some patterns develop. You know, like I say many times, just looking at the indexes and how they're doing doesn't tell much of the story until I put on the wetsuit, the snorkel, the mask, and dive down under the neath the surface of the indexes and look underneath. I really don't have a very good feel right now for what's going on, other than some early moves in the chip stocks, the cloud stocks, some of the high growth stuff, I suppose. Okay. I want to have one other guy that I respect has weighed in on the cryptos. That's Bill Miller. Bill Miller is a very well-known money manager who is famous for beating the S&P 500 for many consecutive years. And now he's part of Legg Mason, where he runs a mutual fund. And, you know, he's been around a long time in the industry, longer than I have been. And he weighs in, okay, on his opinion on this whole cryptocurrency business, which I'll tell you a little story in a minute about people asking me when they find out what I do. What do you think their first question is? What do you think of cryptocurrencies? Well, here's what Bill Miller thinks, and then I'll tell you what Bill Gunderson's answer was last night to somebody who asked me that question. Bill Miller, okay, of the Lake Mason, continues to bet on Bitcoin. If I like something at a higher price, it's a safe bet I will like it even more at a lower price. Bill Miller told CNBC Today as Bitcoin continued its plunge. Well, I'm just going to give you a caveat here. Back in 2008, I well remember Bill Miller saying I'm sticking with Bear Stearns and Fannie Mae all the way down until they went to zero. Okay, that was 2008. So everything comes with a little grain of salt. His words may or may not provide comfort to crypto bulls given this past record here. Maybe more soothing to the bulls are victory laps being taken by often mistaken, never in doubt, Bitcoin skeptics like Nouriel Roubini, Peter Schiff, and Paul Krugman. They're all very, very much skeptical about the Bitcoin markets, the crypto markets. More from Bill Miller. He notes the Bitcoin move may be extreme for the stock market, but it's actually a pretty routine pullback for the popular crypto. Others have also pointed out numerous plunges in Bitcoin during its mammoth 2017 bull market. You know, I guess Bitcoin got as low as 29,000 yesterday. I don't remember seeing that, but I guess it did. Then it bounced as high as 42,000. That's what you call volatility, and that's the kind of thing that invites in the finance committee, the oversight committees, the government regulators to take a look at these markets. I think they're a little bit out of control. Earlier, Kathy Wood suggested that Larry Fink, which I believe is Blackstone, Larry Fink, or BlackRock, one of those, and the ESG crowd may have gotten to Elon Musk. Of course, ESG is all about, you know, what is due to the climate and whatnot, and made him at least publicly worried about Bitcoin mining energy's usage. Well, you know, Elon is pretty unpredictable. And, you know, if you didn't read recently, he has been diagnosed with, you know, I've known people with that. I had Boy Scouts with that in my scout troop. They're different kind of kids that I had to handle differently, and, you know, Elon has it. All right, more bad news for Kathy Woods. One of her biggest holdings, IOVA, in her genetics, ARKG fund, got whomped yesterday. She owns 12% of IOVA, IOVA, it went down 37% in yesterday's trading. Totally, you know, not associated at all with Bitcoin. Now, we're seeing some early moves here in some of these high flyers. You know, Shopify, Workday, Twilio, Upwork, just a few names there. Tony Dwyer of Canaccord Genuity, a guy that, you know, I pay attention to, he recommends keeping your powder dry. An event with sharp down moves seen in equities recently until there's a clearer signal. I would agree with that. Okay, now to my little story from last evening. I finally got a little free time after several conference calls and lining up Sarasota. And I headed downtown Charleston, which I like to do on a fairly regular basis. Just there's a really good duo on Wednesday nights at the High Cotton. And they much like the Captain and Tennille. I just like them. They're entertaining. They play a lot of everything from Jolene to Fly Me to the Moon, okay? So I just sat there, watched a little TV, listened to the music, and talked to some people around me. You know, everybody pretty much is from somewhere else. The couple next to me was from Jacksonville. The other guy next to me was from New Jersey. We get a lot of New Jerseyites. And, of course, they wanted to know when they found out what I did, what do you think of Bitcoin, number one? And I said, well, you know what? I would just avoid it. I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable with it. You know, there's something to be said for a gut feeling. Some people feel things in their mind. Some people feel things in their heart. I feel things in my gut. Okay, that's just where I take a lot of Rolaids, a lot of Tums, because I feel things in my gut. I don't have a good gut feel that this is going to end well with these cryptos. So that was my answer to them. Do what you want to do. Go where you want to go. And the other question they had, what about all these tech stocks? Is this a buying opportunity? Well, I said, you know, it's completely shifted to a value market here. I don't see it anytime soon shifting back to a high growth market, not in an inflationary and rising interest rate environment. And I'm on board with Canaccord Genuity's Tony Dwyer's recommendation of keeping your powder dry. I know, you get an itchy trigger finger. You made a lot of money in these stocks last year, like Fiverr and Upwork and Teladoc, etc. But, you know, just scratch that itchy trigger finger for now. We really don't have any kind of a clear signal. It's a confused market right now. You've got inflation expectations ramping up while the Federal Reserve stands resolute with its historically accommodative policy. It pays to wait for intermediate term indicators, which, yeah, that's what I'm watching. I'm watching charts. I'm seeing a flattening out and a smoothing out and a settling of that high growth crowd. But that is not reason to jump back into it. It's just a part of this overall process to see which way this move is going to go next in that space. But I really don't expect the action to come back to that area of the market. A lot of that area of the market was propelled by COVID. You know, you look at DocuSign and you look at Zoom Info and you look at Peloton and all the rest, Shopify, Amazon, that benefited wildly from being locked into our homes. Well, it's a new game out there now. It's a new ball game out there, and the economy's coming back. I just think it's more of a basic type company type of market right now, which I decided to go in that direction in late February, and I still feel like it. They're going to have their bad days. They got pulled down yesterday with the sell-off in Bitcoin and the rest. But I think that's a very buyable and very profitable trend out there right now. And it's going to have its dips. It's going to have its bad days. But I think that's the trend. I think this is a value market. I don't care when I talk to the brokers at Southport, which I now do every Tuesday. I give them my thoughts on the market. A lot of them are ETFs. They buy ETFs. I said, look, whether it's the small cap market, the mid cap market, or the large cap market, you have large cap growth, you have large cap value. You have mid cap growth, you have mid cap value. You have small cap growth, you have small cap value. I would err on the side of value in all cases right now. I also told that to one of my biggest clients yesterday who self-manages some of his money. I said, look, all your growth ETFs at Vanguard, just flap them over to the value ETFs. I think you'll be happier a year from now. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show on this Thursday, May 20th. I will be getting this newsletter done today, and it will go out tomorrow morning, all right? You can get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story here and give you a pretty good reason to maybe check that newsletter out. About 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, I was approached by Seeking Alpha. Of all their many writers, there's about 7,000 on Seeking Alpha, that maybe even more than that. I was one of the ones that they chose to run a premium service wherein people could subscribe to my premium service, get my newsletter every week. I'm in the chat room there every day on Seeking Alpha with these folks. And I run four portfolios. And I created those four portfolios on January the 1st, 2019, January the 1st. So I'm into this project now, all of 19, all of 20, and 5 months into this. So that's, what, 29 months, almost 2.5 years now, okay? I had a guy that subscribed to my service for a year, and when he left a scathing review of me, which, hey, that's cool, you know? Go ahead. I want to be a better person. Tell me what I did wrong. His major complaint was, I don't use sell stops. Okay, I don't believe in sell stops. I believe amateurs use sell stops. And he pointed out all the losers, you know, that were more than 8% over the last 2.5 years. Well, I've also talked about an artist by the name of Paul Detlefson who would be so close up to his paintings of Americana, I watched him, I've seen him, talked to him, that he would have to step back from time to time to the back of the room to see the big picture. Okay, so I created four portfolios for Seeking Alpha. The Ultra Growth portfolio is made up of small mid-cap stocks, and since I created it 2 years and 5 months ago, it's up 126%. During that same period of time, the S&P is up 63%. Over the last 2.5 years, this portfolio that is not only created for Seeking Alpha, but a portfolio I manage for my clients, has doubled the returns of the S&P 500. Yet he's standing so close to the little dots on the painting, it's like watching the sausage being made, that he misses the big picture. All right. I also created an emerging growth portfolio. I actually created this on April the 1st, 2019, so it now has a 2-year track record. Since I created it, it's up 86%. During that same period of time, comparable period of time, the S&P 500 is up 42%. Once again, I doubled the returns of the S&P 500. Now, I carefully document this. Every time I make a buy or sell, I send out a live trading alert. And I have a history of every buy and sell I make in my blotter at Ameritrade. The numbers are the numbers, okay? There's no fudging here. They're exactly real-life stuff. Not, you know, these are not models. These are real-life portfolios. Okay, and I created a premier growth portfolio of large-cap stocks for those that are a little bit more conservative in their investing. Since January 1st, 2019, my premier growth is up 89%. During that same period of time, the S&P is up 63%. So I'm 250 basis points? I believe that's so. Ahead of the S&P 500 with my premier growth. And he's complaining that I don't use sell stops. And at the end he says, you know, he may think he has a good service, but he doesn't tell you the truth about all the losers he's had. Well, you know, pal, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters is the bottom line. You know, when you pick up your portfolio, when you look at your portfolio at the end of the year and say, God, you know, Gunderson clobbered the S&P 500 again this year. Who cares? Do you think there's a money manager out there that doesn't have big? Look at Kathy Woods. She has stocks that have been decimated. Yet she's considered one of the. Is she using sell stops? No. Look, I studied CanSlim for many, many, many years. I got my first Investor's Business Daily 25 years ago. At a little newspaper machine. Remember those? At a coffee shop in San Marcos, California, and I became hooked on Investors Daily, and I read all of Bill O'Neill's books. I've taught numerous seminars on CanSlim. There's two problems with CanSlim. There's no V in CanSlim. That's valuation. And I would say that that's the issue mainly that I have with Kathy Wood. She doesn't bring the V into this. I never hear her talk about any valuation criteria. She's pure momentum. Okay, that's one problem with CanSlim. The second problem with CanSlim is, you know, William O'Neill started a mutual fund called the New America Fund. You might not remember that. And it adhered to strict CanSlim rules, and it used 8% sell stops. That fund did so poorly over two or three years period of time. It was run by his protege, something Ryan. I can't remember his first name, something Ryan. It did so poorly, it was an embarrassment for CanSlim and for Investors Business Daily, and they pulled the fund, they closed it down, because in real life, it sounds good. Well, the most I can lose on this stock is 8%. Well, you know how many stocks that I've owned over my career that went down 9, 10%, and I had conviction in them, and they turned into some of the biggest winners of all time? So, look, it's just my opinion. If you're at work and you can't monitor a portfolio all day long, then put in sell stops and see how it works for you over the long haul. I found that it's detrimental to a portfolio because you miss out on the huge winners. And furthermore, a lot of people will put in a trailing sell stop. So as their stock goes up, if there's ever a correction of 8% or more, they're out. You will miss out. You're after big, big winners in this game. And you're going to have a lot of small losers. You might even have, if you only own a 4% position, if it's 4% of your overall portfolio, if it goes to zero, which I've never had a stock do that, you're only going to lose 4% in your overall portfolio. If it goes down 10, 20%, 25%, sometimes it happens overnight. You want more big winners than those losers, and I think my bottom line performance speaks for itself. You want to check out what I own right now? And how I've done, you can get my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. You can join my live trading, or better yet, have me manage it for you and take the load off of you. Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Sign up for Sarasota, 855-611-BEST, and have a really good day.
Or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.